Atlanta Life Radio Station, WALR, bringing you the best in talk radio.
Failure is not final. Your life is not through. Now with your testimony, God can use you too. If you didn't know the pain of life, wouldn't know.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for joining me tonight for another inspiring episode of There Is Life After Layoff Radio. I'm Allie, your host, and it is always a pleasure to be your guide as I continue to follow this path in my journey of rediscovery and empowerment after being laid off. Now, remember, I'm not here to point fingers at or to place the blame on my former employers or colleagues or any one individual, but what I'm here to do is to face my own truths as I continue to grow professionally and spiritually while walking in my life's purpose. And along with the support of my contributing co-hosts and special guests who help to guide the conversation, our goal is to then encourage and empower you to explore new and inspiring opportunities to either discover or rediscover and walk in your life's purpose. Now, the goal is that together we will support one another through this journey. So that is why I invite you to join in on the conversation with us every Tuesday evening from 7 to 8 p.m. through the Atlanta Life Radio website at www.atlantaliferadio.com. And you can also follow me on my blog at www.thereislifeafterlayoff.com. And as always, if you wish to contact me directly, you can do so via email at thereislifeafterlayoff@gmail.com. And please continue to connect and follow us on social media. You'll find me on Twitter at AllieWard45, and you can follow Atlanta Life Radio on Twitter at ALR Radio. And I'm also on Instagram at #AllieWard45, and on Pinterest you'll find me at AllieWard65. And please remember to like us on Facebook by searching at There Is Life After Layoff, and you can find Atlanta Life Radio on Facebook by searching at Atlanta Life Radio. So on behalf of myself and the entire There Is Life After Layoff radio team, we say thank you once again for listening and for joining us as we share with you our insights into issues related to not only the experience of being laid off, but also related to other life-altering events. Now I have a couple of quick reminders, and then we'll be ready to get started. I always want to remind you that if you miss a particular show, you can catch up on what you've missed through the Atlanta Life Radio website, again at www.atlantaliferadio.com, because we have that great, convenient automatic player box on the show schedule page. All you have to do is just click on the show you want to listen to, and it'll start playing for you automatically. And we're also on iTunes. All you have to do is search for Atlanta Life Radio under podcasts, and then you will be able to subscribe to our station, and you won't have to miss out on all the great programming that Atlanta Life Radio now offers. And so it is with great appreciation that I say thank you, thank you, thank you for continuing to not only tune into the live broadcast, but also for catching up on what you may have missed. And, of course, you know this show works because of you, our faithful listeners. So you're the ones that help to drive the show, and that is why we always want to hear from you. And so with that said, if you want to be a part of tonight's conversation by making a positive comment, I invite you to call in and join the conversation by calling us at 347-324-5246 and make sure that you press the number 1 to be added into the on-air host queue. And we will begin taking your calls right after our break at around 7:30. So we certainly do look forward to hear from you. So now we're ready to get started. And, you know, I just wanted to let you know that the first half of our show tonight is going to take on a little bit of a different format. And so in light of the recent unexpected death of the artist known as Prince, whom we all love, I have asked Melinda Davis, also known as Mel D, the executive producer of Atlanta Life Radio and also the CEO of Atlanta Life Media, I asked her to join me this evening so that we can both take some time to pay tribute to him and share our feelings and thoughts about the devastating and shocking loss of this music icon. And so we also want to give you an opportunity that if you feel like you want to call and express your feelings or your thoughts about it, then by all means we invite you to call us. So Mel D, thank you for joining me tonight in our tribute to Prince. My heart is really, really heavy about all of this, and the music world and the world as a whole has lost another music legend all too soon, and I'm pretty much still in shock over it, and I just wanted to find out from you, what are your thoughts and feelings?
Oh, well, just like you, when I heard the news, and actually my husband called me and he said, "Did you hear?" And I said, "Hear what?" Mm-hmm. And he said, Prince is dead." I said, "Prince?"
Wow.
I mean, because so many of my friends and associates and other people just went to his concert that he held here in Atlanta.
Right.
And they were posting on Facebook. They were so elated. They were still high off of the concert. So to now hear that Prince had passed, it was devastating to me. It felt like a part of my own life went with him because and we'll talk more about it, but it hit me hard. And once I realized, when I heard the news, I immediately turned on CNN and I heard the news. And once I heard it officially again, I broke down. I cried because it was just so shocking.
Yes.
And the last thing I thought I would ever hear.
Yeah. Yep. Absolutely. I think a lot of people are still in denial. I read a post from a gentleman who said he was looking at a video and listened to his music, and then he had to remind himself, "Oh my gosh, he's gone." And, and it's so hard to believe, and I equate this to the magnitude of his loss as, the same that we all felt when we lost Michael Jackson. Because I know when that news dropped, I dropped down and I cried because he was just, wow, just part of everybody's family. And, both of them had such a profound impact on the music world and on people in general, not just people in the music world, And I respected him for a lot of reasons. And, of course, I wanted to talk about that a little bit tonight because a lot of people don't know the man behind the music. And you don't always hear about what they do because he was one of those people that didn't want to tell folks what he was doing. He was very humble.
Exactly.
And,
I wanted to add, when you was making the comment about Michael Jackson, I actually heard this sentiment expressed, and I thought it was just very profound and accurate. First we lost the king, then we lost the queen, and now we lost the prince. And they were referencing Whitney Houston as the queen. And I was like, wow, that is so profound.
Absolutely.
And I think it expressed the magnitude of how people were feeling, that we lost another icon, somebody who definitely we all grew up with. We all grew up with listening to. And, I always thought about it, and I heard another person express that Prince actually represented the soundtrack of my life, and I connected to that because when I cried as though like he was a brother of mine. Because when I was in college, his songs got me through my little love hiccups, and just growing up, and identifying with who I am as a young lady, and then I just thought I was confused by him because he was a little man. And, he gyrated, so in some ways, he exuded so much sexual, armor-like.
Itchy.
But then, he had the groove to the musical sound. But then his lyrics were just so profound. So I love that soundtrack of my life because I think that, for me, depicts exactly what Prince was for me.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, absolutely. And when you said that, I can remember when I really, really first started connecting with his music and listening to him. I was in high school, and my first job was at a movie theater, and it was around the time when Purple Rain came out. And so I've probably seen Purple Rain more times than I could count because of working at a movie theater. And you could hear the music, so we were singing it while we were at work, and it was like, okay, enough already with the when doves cry, okay?
Oh, yes. Oh, my God.
But it was such a, I mean, and it was such a popular movie that it played for a long, long, long time at the theater. So it was like, okay, really?
Yes, yes, yes.
But it was such a
great
movie.
Because, you know, during that time, all we had were music videos. So there really wasn't an artist that rose up to playing a part in a movie. And it's a shame I didn't really know all of this before, you know, while Prince was alive. But, you know, now a lot of revelations about his life. And it was shared that someone else, that movie was written for someone else to have the starring role. Mm. It wasn't written for Prince. And, and then once the person who they had in mind, a lot of the executive producers and the writers wanted to try out Prince. And it just took on a whole different feel, and it was right because that was Prince's role, you know. So that was interesting to learn that he wasn't the first choice for that movie, for that screenplay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he had an interview with Oprah a while ago, and it was in 1996, and she asked him the question, what part of that movie was autobiographical? And he said, because there was a lot of speculation as to, oh, that was his life, that was what happened to his family and what have you. And, you know, he never, you know, trashed his dad or anything like that, because his dad actually was a musician as well. But he said the part that fit his life most closely was the part of him watching his mom cry, scene where his mom had been beaten up by, you know, her husband, and he was sitting there telling her that it was going to be okay, and he was crying. He said that was the closest part to his life that really actually resembled. So I thought that was kind of interesting. So,
yes.
But, you know, one of the other things that I really wanted to share about him is, you know, and one reason why I did respect him was, you know, not only was he a musical genius, but I respected him because he took a stance to protect his craft and the integrity of his music as a whole. And, you know, I don't know if you recall back in, what year was it? 1992. He actually inked a $100 million contract with Warner Brothers Records.
Right.
And it was like one of the biggest record deals in the industry. And it turned into a public feud over control because they wanted to control him. And he was like, no, I need artistic control. And it turned into a whole big thing. And if you recall, he ended up scrawling the word slave on his face, and he walked around like that for a long time.
I remember
You remember that? It made a statement.
I do.
In his interview with Oprah, he clarified. He said he wanted to clarify so that people would not get the wrong impression because he was not comparing himself to any slave of the past or any slave, he said, of the future. But what he was trying to, the point he was trying to make was that in his mind, he felt like he was a slave in the business. And, you know, he had inked this big deal, and it turned out to be less than desirable. And he felt like he was enslaved as an artist.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And so I really, you know, admire him for that.
And he took a stand, and you know what's really it's very profound because you know we talk about life journey and all, everything that we do you know on the various radio shows on Land Life Radio, and then I got an announcement on something else we're doing, but we talk about the life journey, and it's sort of like when someone knows what they're destined to do, what their God given talents are, it's not for sale, you know. It's let's partner, you know, I'll produce the music, I'll create the music, and what you're good at, I'll use your platform to get it out there to the people, but he never wanted to compromise the integrity of his music, no matter what. And I think that's why he has that vault, because there was so much music. I remember hearing so many people give tributes to him, and one of them that I really liked was I think it was Van Jones, CNN anchor,
yes,
a news reporter. And he, of course, he talked about the humanitarian side, which we'll get into in a minute. But he did, I believe it was him that stated that Prince actually, let me correct myself. It was an interview with Larry King.
Okay.
And Prince actually said, when I'm sitting and talking to people, I'm inspired and I hear music. And sometimes I have to leave the interview, go off, and write the music.
Wow.
Yeah, and I'm like, you know, yeah, he said, you hear things in words, I hear things in music. That's what he said. And I thought that was like, wow, that is so profound.
Exactly. It's funny that you mentioned the journey, because I was going to mention this. Actually, in that same interview with Oprah, she asked him, as a result of that whole big thing with Warner Brothers, she asked him, she said, it sounds like you've grown. And then he said, yeah. And he said, I really feel like I have inside. And so then Oprah asked this. She said, do you think that it would have happened to you had you not been enslaved? And he said, absolutely not. He said, absolutely not. And he said, this is funny. He said, you know what? He said, he told Oprah, he said, there are some days that I just want to call the people up at Warner Brothers and just say, I love you. And she said, really? And he said, yeah. He said, because of the journey.
Yes.
And they're part of the experience. So he said, and I'm going to read exactly what he said from the transcript. He said, I'm thankful to them for giving me the opportunity to be here talking to you, you know. This record is really important for me because it is the first time that I've recorded an album, a complete album, in a state of complete freedom. So he was thanking them, but although it was something that turned into a public feud, he was thanking them because it made him grow.
Yes.
And so I thought that was
really
interesting.
It is, and that's what it's about, because, you know, we constantly talk about, you know, we all have the desired outcomes that we want for whatever we're working on or towards. And when you have a moment where there's a fork in the road or something just happens that you didn't expect to happen, some people just fall all apart. But that's where the lessons and the strengths come from.
Yeah.
And the wisdom, because that's a lesson.
Yeah.
But, you know, sometimes when we're in the midst of it, and, you know, we talk about this all the time, we don't see it for what it is.
Yes.
It's like we got to come out of it. And once we know we still got our limbs and we still got our mind and everything's still intact, it's like, oh, okay. You know, and maybe there's a revelation on why you went through that trial or tribulation. And you're coming out on the other side better for it. So I think it's profound, and just like you read that, I think so much more is going to be exposed about Prince, because the one thing that I was very impressed with was his spiritual side and how the spiritual side led him, because he was and you know, you and I talked about, was he a Seventh-day Adventist or a Jehovah's Witness, and he actually was both.
He was raised as a Seventh-day Adventist. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he eventually converted and was a practicing Jehovah's Witness up to his death.
Mm-hmm.
And the one thing that I love is that, you know, and this is in the Bible, you know, let my work speak for me. It's not that I have to publicly tell you all the good deeds that I'm doing. It's really, because Jehovah's Witnesses, they can't brag.
They can't publicly,
you know. And I think there's something in that, because he did so much. I mean, just from the news reports that I've read and just, you know, the research that I've done in preparation, just because I wanted to know more about the humanitarian side. And I know you got some facts to share, but I had no idea that he secretly donated money to Trayvon Martin's family. He didn't even want them to know about it.
Yep.
You know?
He would not allow
Yes.
It to be disclosed that he was doing that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then there were two not-for-profits that I've heard of, but I had no idea that he was one of the bigger funders. Yes We Code and Green for All.
Yes.
Those
yes.
were underprivileged youth that were able to, they were given opportunities to get technical jobs in Silicon Valley. And then also for the Green for All, people in underprivileged communities were provided homes with solar panels. Come on.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
I mean, just unbelievable.
Absolutely.
And I know there's so much more. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. And it was, you know, you mentioned Van Jones, who is, for people who may not know who he is, he's an American political activist. He's a commentator. He's an author. He's an attorney. And he also served on President Barack Obama's, he was a special advisor for Green Jobs. And he actually had to resign from their administration because of something that was going on that was kind of toxic, as he describes. But he had a really tearful and emotional interview just recently where he was talking about how Prince was so much more than his music. And, you know, he said, and I'm going to quote him, he says, the music, and this kind of relates to what you said earlier about how he heard people, okay?
Yes.
And people hear his word. This relates to that. And I quote, the music is an expression of a genius that is so deep and so profound that only music could capture it and express it. But it's so much more than the music. So that directly relates exactly to what you just said. He heard
yes.
it.
Yes.
He expressed himself and what he was thinking through his music because that's the only way he could really capture it, his genius.
Yes, yes.
You know,
and that's the sign of a genius.
Music.
Yeah,
exactly.
Because it's like Mozart. If you studied Mozart, Mozart did the same thing. He heard things in musical notes, and he would compose, I mean, days at a, you know, he would just do a whole, you know, piece. It was just amazing. So when
Absolutely.
Someone's that gifted, they're, to me, the hand of God is on them.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just, I'm sorry that he had an untimely death, but what he left here, I think it's multiple lifetimes of work.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think
yes.
you and I kind of talked about that before the show.
Yes.
You know, my husband mentioned to me that his catalog is so extensive that they could put out an album a year for over 100 years. And, you know, that's how much music he wrote. And just to share, kind of piggyback on top of that, not only did he write music for himself, but he wrote music for other entertainers,
artists.
Musicians,
uh-huh.
you know, and I kind of broke down a list of some of the songs that, you know, for people that we probably didn't realize it was Prince. Like he wrote,
right.
he wrote for Alicia Keys. He wrote "How Come You Don't Call Me" for Alicia Keys. He wrote "Glamorous Life" and "A Love Bazaar" for Sheila E. He wrote that song for Chaka Khan called "I Feel for You," and he wrote for Tevin Campbell, The Bangles, Mars Day and the Time. That's just the beginning, tip of the iceberg of the entertainers that he produced and wrote music for. So he shared his music, and, you know, it was just, you know, people just only see the surface. They don't take the time to know what is going on. And like you said, I'm sorry that we are all just finding out all of this after his
right.
untimely death. But you know what? It's going to serve a purpose because my hope and my prayer is that somebody takes the torch and carries it forward. And like with Mr. Jones, you know, hopefully he will continue to create and operate the nonprofits that he, you know, Prince helped to co-found with him. And it was actually Prince who reached out to him after his resignation and said,
yes.
you know, why are you upset? And he said, you know what? You just move forward. He said, I'm going to help you with your nonprofit. You know,
that's right. But did you hear
project.
The part where he said to Van, he said, because Van, I guess Van was sharing that he just left his job at the White House.
Yeah.
With Al Gore at the time. And he left, he said, one minute I'm at the White House, and the next minute I'm not there. And it was just a very you know, troubling time for him. And Prince said to him, and this is how it said he infuses his spirituality. He said, I want you to go to the Holy Land,
yeah,
and I just want
yeah.
you to write, mm-hmm. pray, and I want you to write down everything you want to do.
Yeah, yep.
And when you come back, I'm going to help you. Now,
exactly.
if somebody said that to me, and they had the means to help me, that is profound. So that I really understood the depth of what, you know, what he was saying and how hurt he was,
yeah.
and why he said what he said and how he said it, in that, yes, I want us to celebrate the music, but I want to celebrate the man and the humanitarian, and because that's where he was touched the most. So
absolutely.
I'm glad he was able, and I'm happy that CNN gave him the platform to be that
yes.
real, because, you know, sometimes in the media things are, you know, edited and you know, I just like that
yeah.
CNN allowed him to be that raw and honest, and it was a moment for the audience, for everyone viewing, as well as for him, Van.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah.
And I heard something that was pretty funny. Jimmy Jam from Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis. Jimmy Jam said that he had actually met Prince in junior high school, and he said it was so funny. He said, because I met him, we were actually in a piano class together, and he said, now mind you, he said, we both knew how to play the piano, but we used it as a way to get out of school, because we were able to go to the high school and take this class. And he said it was so funny because the teacher would tell them to play like Mary Had a Little Lamb, and they'd be in there, you know, plinking like they couldn't play, and then when she'd leave the room, they'd jam together, and then when she'd come back in, they'd act like they couldn't play it.
Yes. That's funny.
That's
oh
hilarious.
It is. Yes, and I want to do a shout-out to an artist that everyone knows, and I have gained – I liked him, and I always liked his music, but I gained the utmost respect. You know, a lot of people were doing their musical interpretations and tributes to Purple Rain. And I don't know how many of our listeners have heard Adam Levine's rendition of Purple Rain. I actually, that thing, his rendition of him playing the guitar, he put his soul into that song. And it was so heartfelt. It brought tears to my eye. Now, you know, Bruce Springsteen, all the other artists, great artists, they did wonderful tributes, and even some not-so-well-known artists did their versions, and they're just as good. But if you have an opportunity to Google down on YouTube, I think you can see Adam Levine's tribute.
Wow.
It is. I have a newfound respect for him. He is a true artist, and he actually worked with Prince. On some music. So it's just interesting, as you were starting to talk about the different artists that Prince worked with, he was also a mentor to many of the artists, and now they're speaking out. So it was just that particular tribute was just spellbounding to me. It was
There's so many that are coming out. There's so many great
that are
coming across the social media and what have you. And
yes.
Somebody has I was mentioning to you before we came on air that somebody has actually created the Prince Museum Facebook page, and so we've been able to see a lot of footage that we would have never seen before. There's even one with Prince, James Brown, and Michael Jackson all on stage together. Can you imagine that?
Oh, my God. That's profound.
Yes.
And, you know, I hope this is a moment in time where some of these younger artists that are out here trying to make it and make their way in the music, you know, industry and world, that they think about impacting their fans in a different way. Do you know what? Not in a fleeting moment, but to actually be an artist that sustains over someone's lifetime, and someone who has a catalog of music that is true and withstands time. You know, because Prince's music in 10, 20 years is going to sound just as good and be just as relevant, just like Michael Jackson.
Absolutely.
So,
it will. Yeah. Stand the test of time for sure. So,
yes.
You know,
yes.
And we're going to kind of wind down and take a short station break, but if you you know, I want to encourage everyone to please stay tuned for the second half of tonight's show, because we do have some exciting, exciting news to share with you, and you won't want to miss it. And, you know, as we head into the break, I want to ask Mel D and our listeners to join us in a brief moment of silence in honor of the great Prince Rogers Nelson. And we want to say rest in peace, and you will be missed.
Yes.
Thank you.
Failure is not final. Your life is not through. Now with your testimony, God can use you too. If you didn't know the pain of life wouldn't.
Hey, this is Mel D, and on behalf of the Atlanta Life Radio team, we thank all of our faithful listeners. If this is your first time tuning in, we thank you. Please share us with a friend, and please return and come back and hear another live show. A special thank you to all of our financial sponsors, because without their financial support, this show would not be made possible. If you're interested in becoming a financial sponsor or want to learn how to advertise with us, please send an email complete with your contact information to info@AtlantaLifeRadio.com, and we will get back with you with a very nice price quote and how you can advertise with us. So now we're going to return back to our program. Allie?
All right. We're back. If you're just joining us, welcome, and you're listening to There Is Life After Layoff Radio at www.AtlantaLifeRadio.com, and I'm your host, Allie, and we encourage you to join us every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m., and please continue to follow me on my blog at www.thereislifeafterlayoff.com. If you want to be a part of tonight's conversation, it's not too late. You can reach us by calling 347-324-5246, and make sure that you press the number 1 to be added into our on-air host queue. And tonight, I have been humbled and grateful to be joined by our show executive producer and CEO of Atlanta Life Media, Ms. Melinda Davis, also known as Mel D. And just before the break, we were paying tribute to the great Prince Rogers Nelson, and I also mentioned that we have some very exciting news. So I wanted to say, Mel D, the wait is finally over, and all the hard work and perseverance has finally paid off. So I wanted to bring you back in and say, please do the honors and make the special announcement.
Oh, Allie, you know the announcement, and you know the work that went into this. So
yes,
this
yes.
has just been, and we'll get into more details about it, but. For many of our listeners, I just want to share with you that Atlanta Life Radio is a brand of our parent company, which is Atlanta Life Media. Mm-hmm. And we have another division and another brand on the publishing side. And our announcement is that we are ready to premiere Up to Me magazine. Yay! I should have had the drum roll. Yay!
Right.
Yes. We have been working on our own publication for the last 3 years.
Yes.
We've done the research. We've done the work.
Mm-hmm.
We have a fabulous team.
Yes.
We have been well received. And we have a beautiful premiere issue. So
yes.
That is the announcement. And we're going to discuss more details about the magazine. And I feel like a proud mama, but I don't want to compare it to a parent child, because we had a team of experts that put their heart and soul into this project. So
Absolutely.
That's the announcement, Allie.
Oh, yes. It has been a long time coming, but the work has certainly paid off, and it has far exceeded my expectations. But, you know, we, you know, and, you know, it took us a while, but glad that we took our time, because the result is a quality piece of work.
And that's what it takes. You know, we didn't want to rush the product because first impressions everlasting. We had a lot of stories to tell, and we had to do right by those stories.
Mm-hmm.
So we had to make sure that we were putting out a top-notch magazine,
right,
and something that readers would want to read and come back to every issue, because we're going to do 4 issues a year.
Mm-hmm.
But we didn't want it to be a magazine like everybody else's magazine. This magazine has its own unique twist to it, which we'll get into.
Mm-hmm.
And it follows with our company theme of the journey of finding awakening and living in your life purpose. So we can get into further discussion on content and things like that in a minute.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. So, you know, I just wanted to have you as such, you know, as the publisher of this hardworking team that, you know, you helped to pull together. I call it the dream team, I guess. to share with our listeners a little bit about, you mentioned purpose. So tell us a little bit about the purpose and the inspiration behind the magazine so that they know what to expect.
Right. So in terms of the inspiration of the magazine, I have to go back years. You know, Allie, as you talk about your journey and the inspiration behind the radio show and life experiences, I never, you know how we constantly talk about, this gets into my own personal testimony.
Mm-hmm.
We really never know all of our hidden talents, you know, our God-given
right.
talents.
Right.
I had a professional career in government, was a high official. I wasn't an elected official, but I worked my way up and was head of a very, very large program here in Atlanta for the state of Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
And during that tenure, I used to write for a lot of industry-related magazines.
Mm.
I was constantly asked to submit something, tell, you know, what's going on in Georgia. And it dealt with the older population, working with older adults and the
mm-hmm.
aging process.
Mm-hmm.
I did a lot of writing. I never really realized I submitted so many articles to a few industry-related magazines, and I was asked to produce an article for the White House Conference on Aging.
Wow.
So as we talk about our journey, and I enjoyed telling those stories, and they were so well-received, but more importantly, continuing on my journey, I wanted to create a platform where others could excel. I knew great writers like yourself, had the pleasure of meeting quite a few people that are currently on our team who just needed an opportunity to
mm-hmm.
showcase their real talents. But
right.
they brought a breadth of experience, and more importantly, they brought a sincerity to wanting to share those stories
mm-hmm.
and wanting to create and expand this platform. So the content is actually stories of purposeful living,
mm-hmm.
but it's not about the destination, it's about the journey of individuals.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Some of the individuals are celebrities. They're people, well-known names.
Mm-hmm.
And one I'll share is our editor, Jennifer Giles,
mm-hmm.
was able to interview Will Haygood. And
yeah.
for those of you that don't know his name, he wrote the book, the best-selling book, The Butler, which
right.
was the inspiration for the movie produced by Oprah Winfrey.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and Lee Daniels.
Yes, and Lee Daniels. So we got to talk to people about not just the movie and the book, but their journey.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the feedback that we received from the people that were interviewed was, no one ever asked me those questions.
Wow.
Wow, this is an interesting twist or interesting route you're taking in my story. You're really interested in me.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
I think that sums up what you're going to read in the articles. We're interested in the person and their journey.
Exactly.
Not where they're currently at. Yeah, maybe they currently have a book, or maybe they're currently on the speaker circuit, or currently they're the CEO of their own company, but they're still on their journey.
Yeah.
But their story can be an inspiration to our readers who are feeling stuck, who have just been recently laid off and don't know where to turn. For people who have financial problems, health problems, are in domestic abuse relationships and don't know how to get out. You know how you hear people say, I thought I had it bad, but when I heard her story, I went,
I know,
oh, my
right?
God, you know? You will have that revelation in some of the articles that are in the magazine.
Yes, I could think of one right off the top of
my
head.
You know one, exactly. And not only do we share those stories, and a lot of our readers are going to connect with those stories. They're going to maybe even see themselves in those stories.
Yes.
We're not going to leave you hanging. We're going to provide you with local resources and information so that you, too, can look at your situation, and we're calling it your up-to-me moment, where you realize you need to make a change in your life.
Yes.
And now we're providing inspiration, resources, information, and support so you can make that decision to change the trajectory of your life or the path that you're currently on.
Awesome.
Everyone has a dream. Everyone has an aspiration. Everyone, you know, how many people hear, I always wanted to be? No.
Mm-hmm.
We can change that language to, I still want to be, and this is what I'm working towards. Those dreams and aspirations can become realities.
Absolutely.
So it's a magazine of promise, of hope, but most importantly, to let people know they're not alone, and I want to thank, and we will in a big way thank everyone who opened up and shared their stories, because the vulnerability and the transparency is very poignant, and it will resonate with people. A lot of people say, well, is the magazine, you know, who's it geared for? It's actually targeting women because And a lot of people go, well, why are you targeting women? Because guess what? If you go to every facet of life in family situations, it's the woman that makes the decision.
Mm-hmm.
And the woman, especially with raising children, you're planting seeds into future adults. Yes, the husband has a role. The male has a role. But we have so many women that are in bondage, whether it's in abusive relationships or they just don't feel that they're good enough. Or that they're good enough to pursue their dreams, that it has to all be, I have to sacrifice my dreams in order to be a good wife or be a good partner.
Mm.
No, we're not in that era. We may, at the end of this year, have the first female president, okay?
Right.
So we're in an era of empowerment for women, and we want to make sure that we tap into that. But we also have stories that are not specific to a male or a female. They're just generic to people.
Right.
And so, you know, we want to make sure this magazine reaches the masses and touches them where they need to be touched.
Right, right. So if you could sum it up briefly, what would you want your readers to just – to walk away from the most after reading an issue of Up to Me magazine? What would you want them to be thinking after they've put it down, after they've read it?
I want them to have, some people call it an aha moment. We call it an Up to Me moment. We want every reader to have an Up to Me moment. And what that pretty much says is you've had a revelation and now you understand the only person who can change it is you.
Is you. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yep.
That's
Absolutely.
What I want our readers to walk away with.
Okay.
If we've done that, we've done our
job.
Fulfilled our mission. Exactly.
Absolutely. So what are your expected distribution strategies for the magazine? How are we going to get it out there in the hands of our listeners and readers out there?
Oh, I'm most proud of this, Allie. Not only do we have a print magazine, a print version of the magazine, we will also be launching next week the digital version of the magazine.
Yes.
By having a digital magazine, which can be read on all mobile devices,
yep,
we're global.
There you go. There you go. Is it, you know, that's
our
the majority of what people do. They read on Kindle and whatever else on their computers. Very
exactly.
few people actually go and pick up a magazine anymore. I mean, there's those who
exactly.
do.
Exactly.
But the e-magazine is the way to go. You know, technology.
It is. And our magazine is going to be so engaging because we're going to have audio, we're going to have video. It's going to be state of the digital landscape. I mean, we got all the bells and whistles. So there's going to be a lot there to engage you. You can read full articles or you can read snippets of an article. Some of the articles will be highlighted. And you'll be able to ease the navigation through the magazine on the digital side. It'll be very easy to navigate. So we want it to be a pleasant experience so that people will purchase a subscription and be able to see all of our magazines, all four issues.
Right, right. So let's, you know, we've kind of mentioned a little bit about the awesome team and the contributors that helped to put the magazine together. Can you tell us a little bit about that? And are there opportunities for our listeners to become contributing writers?
Yes. Well, first I want to, you know, we have an awesome team. I don't want to name everybody because I don't want to forget anybody because it took several people to put this together. But I do want to give a big thank you to our editor-in-chief, Jennifer Giles.
Absolutely.
She brought a wealth of experience.
Mm-hmm.
She's a phenomenal writer, and she oversaw the actual editing process, which we all learned is a true process.
Yes, it is.
Anyone who thinks that they can put out a book or a magazine and not go through editing, you have another thing coming to you.
Mm-hmm.
But because of her leadership, we were also able to pull together a great editing team, you included, and
right.
a writing team. And we also have professional writers, people who write, you know, that's a profession.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have those that are recent authors of books
right.
who have a message who we provided a contributing writer opportunity. And so we have contributing writers and in addition to writers, the professional writers. But we also, when you see the cover, we gave a mother, we gave a young woman who was a, she was raising her children. She wasn't in the workforce, but her passion was photography.
Mm-hmm.
And
over
the years, with her raising her children, she perfected her eye, but her passion was photography. And she, I saw her work and met her, and she just, her spirit just exuded what the magazine represented.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked her, would she do the cover? And she said, I've never done a cover for, you know, photo cover for a magazine. I said, well, this will be your first time. And I tell you, when she took the photo, I had a tear in my eye because it depicted, did it not? Because you got to see it.
Yes.
Everything
yes.
that we
beautiful.
Were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And so we also give opportunities to people who really have a talent and just need, again, an opportunity to show their work.
Right.
Now, she has a full-scale photography business. She's doing, you know, more things in that area. She had the business before, but she just really has never done a magazine cover. So now she has that credit on her resume.
Wow, that's awesome. That's awesome.
Yes.
So how can someone learn about any opportunities for, you know, being a contributing writer? How can they learn about that?
We do have guidelines, and those guidelines are available on our website. What
okay.
you can do is go to www.uptomemagazine.com. And on that page, there are contributing guidelines. You'll have to fill out your name and information, contact information, and you can download the guidelines. And then we will make contact with you after we receive your contact information. So when you fill in your name and your email address, just remember to hit submit so that we'll be able to get your information. And remember to download the contributor guidelines.
Awesome.
And if you can satisfy the guidelines, then we definitely want to talk with you.
Absolutely, absolutely. So there's some other opportunities out there as well.
Yes.
As far as being a part of the magazine. There's a couple of columns that I would like to take a moment to share with our listeners about, if you allow me to do so.
Yes, please. Go right ahead, Allie, because those are the two columns that you'll be writing for. So why don't you go ahead and share?
Absolutely.
What those two columns are.
Thanks. We actually have one column that we're calling our Rising Star. And it is a column that's focused on spotlighting individuals who exude a real passion for helping others, who display true servant leadership. And so these are people with an overwhelming desire to meet the needs of others despite their own personal circumstances. And so with this column, the magazine is offering you an opportunity to either share your own personal story, or you can nominate someone within your community or somebody that you know personally, if you work with somebody. And, you know, if you want to nominate them, there's some certain criteria that they have to meet in order to be nominated. And I just want to share with you real briefly a little bit about the criteria. First of all, they have to work to serve others, and that addresses a need. They have to have created or founded a not-for-profit program or company or initiative that is a mission-oriented company that's serving the poor, homeless, terminally ill, elderly, battered women, etc. This person has to have a compelling personal story or journey of discovery that has led them to their mission, and have experienced a respectful level of success with their mission through donations, grants, volunteers, etc., and have a passion for serving others that radiates and resonates sincerely. And so if you know someone that meets that criteria and you want to nominate somebody, we have an awesome young lady who I actually had the privilege of meeting a couple of years ago, who I nominated because she just exuded all of that criteria and all of those qualities.
Yes.
And so if you know somebody who you want to nominate, what I suggest you do, you just can go to Up to Me Magazine via the Atlanta Life Media website. And again, that address is www.uptomemagazine.com. And when you go to that page, you'll see a submission button for Rising Star, and then you just fill in the information and nominate your candidate for Rising Star. And we'll, you know, check it out, read it, and we'll contact you and set up an interview with that person. And then the other column that I am so happy about and is near and dear to my heart, as you know, is Mary Jane's Corner. And it's very special to me because it's actually named in my mother's honor. And I know for those of you who've been a listener, loyal listener for some time, you've probably heard me talk about my mom and how I lost her at the age of 57 to lung cancer, and which left a huge void in my life. And she was always my biggest cheerleader. And even though she was battling cancer, she never gave up hope and insisted that she was going to have quality of life despite what she was going through. And so Mary Jane's Corner is a platform for sharing stories of triumph attributed to individuals who have beaten odds against health issues and other obstacles, and despite their struggle, have made a profound impact on the lives of others. And so, again, Up to Me Magazine wants to invite you to share your personal story. It could be about your own personal journey and story of triumph, or if you know about another courageous individual who has defied the odds and you know, something that will inspire our readers, we invite you to submit your story of 500 words or less to Up to Me Magazine, again, via the Atlanta Life Media website at www.uptomemagazine.com. And just like with the Rising Star nomination, there will be a button there where you can go ahead and upload and submit that story and of 500 words or less. So I'm very excited about both of those opportunities because we're going to really hear about people in the community who we wouldn't normally
get to
read or you know, hear their story. So I'm really excited about receiving those type of nominations.
Yes, and nominations we can begin receiving them next week. So on next Monday, we can start receiving nominations. Okay.
That's so awesome. Great. That's great.
Yes, we're real excited about that. Contributors, if you're interested, you can go to the website now and download the guidelines and submit your name and contact information. So.
Awesome.
Okay.
What about advertising opportunities?
We want to talk about that. Now, what we have done, because, you know, unfortunately we can't, and we've been blessed financially to be able to put the magazine out and to do the good work that's been done so far. But, you know, reality is reality that we don't live in a free world. So, but what we want to do and what we're going to do is provide an affordable platform for small businesses.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you try to purchase an ad in O Magazine, it is probably cost prohibitive to many.
Right.
So we want to provide a platform for small businesses, and we actually have a section in the magazine called the Resources for You, for the readers.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we have most of our ads. And those are going to be the most affordable ads that we'll have available. So we want small businesses or individuals to take advantage of that.
Right.
Now, if you're blessed and your business is doing well and you have an advertising budget, we also have other opportunities such as full-page ads. And if you take a full-page ad out, you also get a bonus. You get to advertise on our radio shows also. So we got some awesome packages for advertising opportunities. And, again, affordable. And because of our niche market, you can reach the audience that you're targeting with
Great.
Up to Me Magazine.
Wow. Awesome opportunity, listeners. So I'm so excited about the finished product and that God has blessed us to do this and given us the resources. And thank you for your leadership in making this happen. So thank you so much. You put in a lot of hard work and persevered through a lot of challenges. So thank you for not giving up and for, you know, seeing it through to the end. Thank you for that.
Allie, that's so humbles me because, you know, we truly practice what we preach. We truly are stewards of what we're saying to our listeners and to the audience for the magazine because I have plenty of stories, plenty I shared with you some nights when I cry because I knew how hard everyone worked and how I'm like, is this God, is this going to happen? And, you know, I just sat back and I prayed and I let God do his thing. And
Absolutely. We
got to give all glory to him. And all thanks to him because, and like I said, we are true stewards of what we're preaching.
Absolutely. So thank you for joining me tonight and for
sharing
this special show with, you know, tribute to Prince and for talking about Baby, the magazine, Up to Me magazine. So, and just, you know, as we are always accustomed to doing, I want to just share a quick word of scripture because, like you said, it always begins and ends with him. And, you know, we've been talking about doing good for others in the humanitarian efforts of Prince. So that led me to Hebrews 13:16, which reads, "Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God." So just real quickly, despite what you're going through, if you take your focus off of your own circumstances and focus on helping someone else, I promise you that it will help you get through what you're going through. So on behalf of There's Life After Layoff, the entire radio team, we say thank you to each and every one of you for joining us on this journey. We don't take it for granted that you've chosen to spend this time with us. And until next time, on behalf of Mel D, myself, and the entire There's Life After Layoff radio team, we say thank you for joining us. And we continue to urge you to be encouraged. And yes, although it may be hard to walk away from something, especially when you don't know what you're walking towards, just know that when God is in it, all things are possible and new. And continue to join us on this journey and take a leap of faith past the fear in your life. Know that the bigger the obstacle, the bigger the blessing. But most of all, remember, there is life after layoff. Thank you and good night.
Failure is not final. Your life is not through. Now with your testimony, God can use you too. If you didn't know the pain of life, wouldn't know the joy of life and how God always brings you through. No need for complaining, just look at this, it's just training to be ready, what God has for you. Tell yourself,
I'm not giving up.
No,
God, can you?